You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
We've been going through a series called Because I'm Happy. And boy, do you guys remember? Let's just do a quick little review. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when we began this? And it was quiet, yet it was noisy, because everybody was like hearing happy, happy. It was about that fifth or sixth time when Pastor said the word happy. It was just, folks was just, things were breaking all in the spirit, because people are saying, you know, that's what I want, but you just don't understand. And people were mad at the idea of happy, because I want happy. But do you realize what I'm dealing with? And then people were intrigued at the idea of happy, saying, could it be? Could it actually be? I believe that there are some saints here that are so passionate about living the way God has chosen them to live, that anything below that just makes them mad. Am I right about anybody else? Anything below what God has called me to be, I get an attitude. I'm like, wait a minute, this is not the way I'm supposed to be living. This is not the way things supposed to be. And that was beautiful. It was interesting. Powerful service. And Pastor talked about, if you remember, he talked about battling for your smile. You got to battle. Smile is not this thing that is just free. It's not fake. A real smile. Sometimes you've got to battle for it. You got to contend for it. You got to fight for it. You got to take it back from the snatches, from the clenches of the enemy, and pull that smile back and say, that is not yours. That belongs to me. Amen. And then he talked last week also about, and I love this, John 15, and your joy may be full. And it was an expository journey through the book of John, through the 15th chapter of the book of John, which I love that verse. The whole idea. I think he says abide about 9 times over and over and over again. You should this week take some time to meditate on that chapter of 15, because Jesus talks about this idea that true joy, true happiness is really more than just things that happen. It's really about this. I like to say it like this. That which you are connected to. He talked about fruit bearing fruit. Those that are connected to me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who are connected to me bear fruit. And so he talks about fruit bearing, but he tells more than just fruit bearing. He also says that there is a, watch me, here's my word, Pastor, reciprocal relationship that's taking place. Reciprocal. Some of us didn't know what that word was until a couple years ago when Lauryn Hill did her song Reciprocity, and we was like, that's a cool word, we had to look it up because it sounded good on the song, but we didn't know what it was talking about. And reciprocal is that it's not only that I give and give and give to it, it gives back to me. And there is a give and receive relationship that goes on. The book of Proverbs calls this idea the tree of life. It is self-energizing, self-producing, which means this, that which we are connected to should not completely drain us. Neither should we completely drain that which we're connected to. There should be, help me out, reciprocity. There should be a connecting piece where when I give to it, it refuels me. And when it gives to me, I refuel it. And watch your relationships, because that might be one reason why you're fighting for happiness, because you might be in relationships that they're just draining you. I'm going to say you might be in relationships that all they're doing is draining you. Or I'm going to flip it. Can I flip it? You might simply be draining somebody. And you'll never be happy because you're saying, you're supposed to be here with me. You're supposed to be. Why aren't you here? Why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you helping me? Because I'm not Jesus. I can't give you everything. So true happiness is this place. John the 15th chapter is an incredible verse chapter because he's saying there is a place, a reciprocal relationship where I give to it, it gives to me. I bear fruit and it replenishes and re-nourishes me. So I want to encourage you just to, that's a powerful, powerful chapter. Those were the last 2 weeks. This week, I have the assignment. I want to share with you about the idea of happiness. And I want to share with you, this is my sermon. I want to bring it up. And this is the title of the sermon, is this. It's happiest people have the craziest blank. And you just got to fill that in. But happiest people, the happiest people, they have the craziest blank. We're going to talk about that. I just want to show y'all something. Now watch this. I want to show you this picture of happy. Watch this happy. Watch, y'all ready for this first happy? That's happy. Isn't that happy? That's just happy. That's happy. You know, you should have saw y'all's face. Do you know the science shows and said that when we see somebody else smile or happy within a millisecond, quicker than a second, something responds and happens within us and our facial features, it actually says our facial features work to match what we see. And you should have saw all of y'all faces light up as soon as you saw that. You just saw it. Hit me with the next one. I love this one. This is just, you just... Your facial, because that's the idea of empathy. You connect with what you see, and it's just happy. Now, I love this one right here. I love this one right. Stop. I am going to pee. Okay. I love that one. Just happy. Just, you know what I'm saying? And you should see all of y'all's faces now. You should see your faces. You guys are just lit up. You're happy. Simply by showing a picture on a screen of something happy. Now, my assignment to you today is to teach you from the Word of God. Because I don't want to just preach you happy. I don't want to just have you dance yourself happy. Then you see a picture, a vision of your life as happy. But as soon as you go home and see the screen of that dirty kitchen, soon as you turn over to her or to him and see the screen of his face. Ooh, it got quiet, Pastor. It got quiet up in here. Soon as you clock into that job and you clock in and see the picture of everybody at your job and just. Now, all of a sudden, what I don't want to happen is what I saw happen just 2 minutes ago. I don't want you just to match what you see in them and you reflect that. I want to share the Word of God with you because the Word of God will help us go further and understand and happy. Before I go into the Word of God, just listen. I'm a word guy. I love words. And so let's look at this whole idea and this word happy. I want you to look at the word happy and where it comes from. And here we go, number two, Pastor. This is from the online etymological dictionary. Okay, the etymology is simply the study of words. It's the history, the background of words. And so let's look at the etymological background of the word happy. Happy is actually, it's from the late 14th century, and it means an old English word from the late 14th century, and it means lucky or favored by fortune, prosperous of events, turning out well, from happy or happen, that word hap, chance or fortune. Hit the next one. Also, it's a sense of very glad. Ousted an old English word aiding from aid or wealth. Good Eids. We would say Happy New Year's Eid and good Eid tiding and all of that. That's the word wealth or riches, which is, and there's another word for it. It means simply silly. Silly. And some of us, that's the only level of happiness that we experience is Eids, when something happens good or something happens good, or we want to make something happen good. So we just become silly. I love this last one. From the Greek to Irish, a great majority of European words for happy at first means lucky. We don't want to go into the word lucky. Well, I'll just tell you. Now, I said that, I'll tell you. You know, the word lucky comes from the word Lucy or Lucifer. Lucifer. Now, don't get all scared. Oh, I'm never going to use that word again. No, because the word Lucifer just simply means shining light. Shining light. When light shines upon my face, when light shines upon my head, I am lucky. Things happen. But here's the thing. Jesus said it rains and shines on the just and the unjust. So what do you do when it ain't shiny? Can you actually be happy? And as I got into this, see, I think that our idea of happiness, we don't want happy. You know what we really want? We want stimulation. We want to be stimulated. We don't want to be happy. And this is what people do all the time. They overstimulate. We overstimulate ourselves because we want something to happen that is of luck or fortune or silly or just shines on us and we feel good about it. So we go to things that make us happy. We do things that make us happy. We even induce ourselves with things that gives us a sense of overstimulation. This is what I put in here is that happiness is not, hit that next one, is not about being overstimulated. And this is what the Lord gave to me about this. Listen to this. Happiness, hit the next one, is about being engaged in what is happening. You may want to write that down. Write that down. Happiness is about being engaged in what is happening in the moment. Happiness is about being connected and engaged in the moment. That's one of the first levels of true happiness. It's really this, about being mindful of the moment. Being mindful of the moment. You have to learn how to do this. And I'm going to give you some scriptures. I'm going to give you some scriptures here, and we'll come back to this. I'll come back to this later. But let me just tell you, many of us, what we do is the moment happens, and we don't like the moment, so we check out. I'm going to say it again. The moment happens and we don't like what's happening in the moment, so we check out. And when we check out, it's happening, but we're not happening with it. Therefore, we are not happy. Things are going on and we're just in our mind. If he say one more thing, I'm going to just tell him one more time. He don't know where I come from. I'm from off the block. He don't know nothing about me. And we're not in the moment. One of the greatest things that you can do for yourself is seize the moment. It seize right where you at. Get out of your head. Get out of your worrying. You can't change what's going to happen. You can't do anything about what already happened, but reconcile it and say it's all God's purpose. So learn how to be right in the moment. And sometimes being in the moment is scary. So we check out because we're scared. So, done got quiet up in here. Let me give you a couple of scriptures and then we're going to go into assignments. I want to talk about being happy and being connected, being mindful, being in the moment. Some scriptures. First of all, Deuteronomy 33 and 29. This was actually the song of Moses. This is Moses' song before he died. And this is what he said about Israel. He said, happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? Then I want to look at the backside of these statements that he makes and see if any of them identify you. Okay? He said, happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? Have you ever been in a place where you've asked yourself, ain't nobody like me? Have you ever felt alienated, like you just came from a different planet? You in the family, but you not from here. You the black sheep. Do I have anybody to know what I'm talking about? So happy are you, saved by the Lord. People who are saved by the Lord, have you ever been in trouble and needed to be saved? Interesting. the shield of your help. Has anybody been shot at and you needed a shield? See, you want to be happy, but you don't want to be shot at. You don't want to be you don't want to be saved, because you got to be in trouble to be saved. So you don't want to be in trouble. You don't want to be alienated. Who is like you, O Israel? You don't want that. You want to be stimulated. Wow. Look at this. It says the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty, your enemies shall submit to you. In order for your enemies to submit to you, you got to be challenged by your enemies. Wow. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Give you another scripture. We'll come back to some of this. Okay, Psalm 144 and 15. Psalm 144 and 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. The last verse I'm going to give you, and we're going to come back to these verses, is John 13 and 17. Jesus said it very simple in the King James Version. It says, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So I want to give you 3 points, and our children are going to help us out with our first point. The first point is that happiest people have the craziest assignments. Happiest people have the craziest assignments. Has anybody looked at your life and say, what in the world is this that I'm stuck here with? It's your assignment. And our children are going to help us out with this first assignment. So all our children, help me out. All our children here in Children's Church, make some noise. Stand up on your feet and make some noise. Get loud. Let me hear you get loud and proud. Let me hear you guys. Okay, this is the only chance I'm going to let you do this. So I want you guys to stand on the chair so I can see you. Parents, hold them so they don't fall and say, hey, wave at me. Let me hear you. Let me see where you at. Where you at? Make some noise. Kids, make some noise. Okay, they're going to help us. Now, this is your assignment, as you see it up on the screen. This is your assignment, and don't start until I tell you when to start, but this is going to be your assignment. Children, the reason why you guys are here is because you guys are experts in this. You're going to help us out. This is what we're going to do. The assignment is this. I want everybody in the room. I didn't even know Pastor was going to do this. He's just like, what are we doing next? What are we doing? I'm going to tell everybody in the room, you need to get into a group of about 5 to 8 people. 5 to 8 people, real group. Quick, get into a group right now. Get up off your feet. Everybody get in a group. Get in a group about 5 or 8 people. And children, you guys help us out by make sure you're in every. If there's a child in every group, help us out. We need a child expert in every group. Just get into a group of about eight. You could even get into 10 people. 10 people. I don't care. Just 10. Just grab a group. And your assignment is going to be this. In that group of people, you need to dance when the music comes on. You need to have a good time. You cannot stop dancing until the music stops. Now, children, you guys are so good at this. Show us how to have a good time, okay? I want y'all to dance and show us how to have a good time. Some of y'all saints is looking mad already, but we gonna go and get it started. Get it started. Go and give it to me right now. Go and give it to me right now. Let's go. Go and start that up. Start that up. Start that up. Help me out. Help me out. Oh, there we go. Okay. 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 You can even do a Soul Train line. I don't care. But you need to dance. You just need to dance. You just need to dance. Come on. over your time. Go get yourselves a hand clap. That's beautiful, 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 beautiful. Let's give our children a hand clap and thank them. Thank you so much, kids. You guys can be dismissed. Go and let the kids go. And go on back to your seat. Go on back to your seat. Some of y'all going to be mad at me because I'm about to take some water. Refreshing. I told you happiest people. What was my point number one? Happiest people have the craziest. Now see, some of y'all were sitting there and saying, I'm in church. What are you doing? The devil is a liar. I ain't gonna That's your problem. That's your problem right there. Is you don't know how to stop. No, some of us was dancing and we was like, I wonder what they think I was looking like. Am I doing? Some of y'all was trying to do the nay nay and y'all was just, y'all were trying to get it all right and just. But did you notice the children? Did you notice the children? All they were concerned with, somebody said it over here. All they were concerned with was what? They have a value system. That when they see a good time, come on, you're talking about a good time. Do you know how crazy life is? There's a good time right here. I should be having a good time. I shouldn't be thinking about what people are thinking about me and what I'm looking like and what, you know, am I doing this right? They just having a good. Somewhere along the line, we've forgotten how to do that. And so I was amazing just to sit and watch. And I saw several people out here. I got to congratulate some of y'all. Some of y'all are having beyond a good time. look at this Proverbs 15 and 15. Amazing verse. It says this. It says, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. Somebody help me out. What does despondent, the word despondent mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Somebody help me out. What is despondent? Dis means not. It means not. Dis means negative. Spond. We correspond. We respond. So thanks, teach. Negative thinkers. Despondent. Dent is a word or a matter. What is dent? Dent is a process or a state of being. So a state of being a constant negative thinker every day brings you trouble. You don't see the new day. You see another problem. And what happens in science shows is, man, I've been reading this stuff. And you know I've been reading this? Because I've been going through. So I've been having to reinforce my soul and reinforce my heart with truth so I can understand what I'm going through. For the despondent, for the constant negative thinker, every day simply brings another problem. Another reason why things ain't right. Another reason why it just ain't together. It's not right. It's not good. But it says, look at this. It says, but for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Some of y'all should wake up tomorrow and say, feast. Before you ever get out of the bed, feast. The next trouble you go into, feast. The next mess that happens and starts happening, you just need to cry out loud, feast. Some of you need to just carry a big old turkey leg with you to work. And every time somebody act crazy, you need to pick it up and say, feast. And just take a big bite out of it and look at them and chew with your mouth open. Feast. Why is it a continual feast? Because the happy of heart already knows that I don't know how I got into this. I don't know what it's for, but I do know in the end, God is going to bring me out. So I might as well help me out. Feast. I might as well learn how to feast, learn how to be in the moment, know how, you know, sometimes one of the exercises that I've been doing, because every now and then, this happened probably about 2-3 weeks ago, I got up and, man, I'm fighting and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to pay all these bills? How am I going to do all this? And one of the things that I do in the morning is I go running. I get up early in the morning and I go jogging. I run about 1 mile or 2 miles and then I walk it off and I pray. And so I was listening to this tape and I was listening to this guy, and he was talking about being in the moment. And he said, whatever you're in, be in the moment. Do you know that they found out through research that people who are in the moment, people who that allow their mind to just wander and drift while they're doing things, are not the happiest people? They found it out. They researched it and they found out. Even if you're not, I do this all the time. If you're driving and you just like are just in another world while you're driving, they said those are not the happy. If you really want to develop your mind to the point of being happy, learn how to be in the moment. So I'm doing these push-ups, and this guy said, even whatever you're doing, if you do it and realize why you're doing it and what you're doing it for, and you do it with all of your heart, you'll be happy. So I'm doing these push-ups, man, and I'm at 80, and I'm like, tired. This is my regimen. I'll run 20, 30, 40 yards, and then I'll drop and do 10 push-ups. And then I'll run, and I'll do a full mile and a half to 2 miles by doing 100 push-ups like that. So I'll run. I'll drop in the middle of the street, do my push-ups, and then run. This time, I made a decision. I said, I'm doing my push-ups, and I was like, this is the most important push-up, and I'm tired. I'm like, I can't do this push-up. But I said, this is the most important push-up that I'll ever do in my life. And I just get into it and I do it. And when I finished doing it, I felt accomplished. Once I finished it, and I was like, that felt good. And I got up and I started running. And then I dropped and did the other 10. And I was like, man, I'm on to something. When I finished that 100 push-ups, I forgot while I was so depressed. What was it? I forgot what I was even concerned about, worried about, because I found myself in the moment. So the Holy Spirit gave me an assignment. Even this morning I was coming and I was thinking and my mind started drifting. Here's a point. You got to watch this, and I have it up here, and I'm going to say it right here this way, is you've got to learn how to refuse the lazy habit of drifting. Refuse the lazy habit of drifting. Science and study has shown that when we allow our mind to drift, usually it drifts to the negative. It drifts down to the negative if you allow your mind to drift. And all you got to do is when you drift, you just realize I'm drifting. Just pull your mind back. Just pull it back. Because if you allow it to drift, you'll be just sitting there. You'll be talking to your spouse. You'll be talking to him. Yeah, that's why I funny what he said. Yeah, I like potatoes too. He said about potatoes. Man, I remember the mashed potato. I remember that dance. Man, you know what? I really can't dance. Man, I hate dancing. I hate going to dances. Why does my husband never take me anywhere? And how did you drift? Do you see? Your mind can easily drift. And you got to know, as a disciple, am I talking to any disciples, any disciplined followers of Christ? You got to know how to grab your mind and pull it back and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you got to pull your mind back and refuse the lazy habit of drifting, because usually when you drift, you will drift to the negative. So don't allow your mind to drift, to just pull it back up. And the more you pull it back up, you get into a habit of knowing, you know what? Regardless of my assignment, happiest people have the craziest assignments. So when you look at what you're doing, because a lot of people say, what I do? Oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? If I'm doing something different, that'll make me happy. Trust me. The happiest people, it doesn't matter. Their assignment is just as crazy as yours. The happiest people, they have the craziest assignments. So it's not about getting a better assignment. I need to do something. I need a new attitude. I need to go somewhere. No, you don't. You don't. Because the happiest people, help me out, have the craziest assignments. They do, but they finish their assignment. That was the word that the Lord gave the pastor for the man of God right there. Finish the assignment. You know, true happiness came when I hit that 10 push-up and I was tired. I was like, 9! And I was like, this is the most important thing. And as I did it, happiness, just a little bit of happiness, a little bit more happiness came. What about tomorrow when you clock in? Just a little bit more happiness. When you dings, you just ding, that's a little bit more happiness. And at the end of the hour, just ding, that's a little bit more happiness. See, happiness doesn't come in a big payload like some of us think. Happiness is just piece by piece, moment by moment, being in the moment, being connected, being present. So this is what the Holy Spirit gave me an assignment. He told me this. He said, see, my mind was drifting. He said, come back. I come back. He said, this is what I want you to do right now. He said, name every color that you see. Name every color you see. So I started saying blue. I saw red. I was driving. I said, I saw red because it was a red light. He said, just think about the color red. Think about the color red. I started thinking about the color red, and I started thinking about blood. And I thought about the blood of Jesus. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so blessed and so happy. What if you did that? Regardless of where your mind, you saw yourself, come back and just start smell. What do you smell? Some of y'all say, I smell. Aren't you blessed? That you can work out and build up a sweat. You know, there's some people that can't, the people that can't sweat. People can't work out. People can't. Y'all don't believe it. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. You think, ooh, if I had a big old steak. You know it's some people that have a steak right in front of them and they still can't digest their food. You know it's some people that have the nicest water bed that's cost more than your house and they still can't get a good night's sleep. True happiness does not depend on the assignment, because the happiest people, help me out, have the craziest. Let me continue to go. The happiest people also have the craziest associations. That's a, go on, hit the next one. The craziest. The happiest people are associated with some of the. See, when I first was working on this sermon, I'll tell you, Pastor Nichols, I told him about it 2 weeks ago. My first title for this sermon was going to be called Me and My Crazy. Just fill in the blank. Because I was going to talk about me and my crazy church. Ooh, yes. Me and my crazy. I got the craziest people that I associate with church. They actually believe that they're forgiven. They actually go through problems and they're not ashamed to tell you when they're going through the problems and they're going, they real. They about the realest people I know, and that's what I love about them. They real people. They're not fake. They crazy. But happiest people have the craziest associations. I was going to talk to y'all about, this is a subject. I ain't talking about mine, but this is a subject. Me and my craziest spouse. Ooh, it got quiet up in here. Oh, me and my crazy significant other. They crazy. What in the world? What in the world? What have you ever in your life just sit up and thought, what in the, have you looked across the bed and said, what in the world? What was that? Let me tell you the truth of it. The truth of it is that you weren't thinking. You were not thinking. When you fell in love, you weren't thinking. And science proves that when you are in love, it literally stops the logistical part of your brain. You lose logic when you're in love. When you're truly in love, you ain't thinking straight. You just seeing, that's all you want. You just want that person. We'll figure it out. We'll make it. We'll live off of love. I don't know if anybody ever said that, but you know what I'm talking about. Do you know that that is powerful? Because if you take that all the way to God, it made no sense for him to give his only son for me. It was beyond logic. It didn't make sense. But he gave his son for me. No, it doesn't make sense. But I'm so glad that he did. Is anybody here glad? That John 3:16 does not make sense. me and my crazy spouse. They're crazy enough to love me. They're crazy enough to believe in me. As I was going through this, I wanted to go that route, but the Lord decided, man, as I was driving here, the Lord changed it, kind of, and I say the Lord changed it. I think he already was doing this. I just kind of tuned in with him to why I wanted to talk about this, because there are some of you in associations with some crazy people. You have crazy associations, and it tends to throw you off. Go to Luke 13 chapter. Look at this. Interesting. Luke 13 chapter 31, it says, and at that time, some Pharisees came to him, came to Jesus, and said to him, first of all, it was Pharisees. You know, if you know about the relationship between the Pharisees and Jesus, it was always tumultuous. It was always up and down. It was weird. It was, you know. But these folks came to him actually on his side. And I don't know why they were on his side, you know, and that's the one thing about it. They may have been on his side because they wanted their religion to continue to go. Maybe they didn't want things to make up a bad stir, and they had alternative motives. Maybe you got people in your life that have all these weird alternative motives, and you don't know whether to trust them or not. And that time they came, some of the Pharisees came to him and said, get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you. Jesus, it was associated with some of the craziest people. He said, you need to get out of here because Herod's going to kill you. And look at what Jesus said. Didn't fright, get afraid. He didn't, well, we better say something to Mr. Herod. Get our hat in our hand, Mr. Herod. I'm sorry for offending you, Mr. Herod. No, look at how Jesus addressed the situation. He said, go and tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. Look at this next one. And the third day I will accomplish my purpose. The Lord just put it in my heart and in my spirit to encourage you. Some of you are connected to people, are the craziest associations, and you're around people that don't mean you any good. What do you do? What do you do when you feel that sense of danger? Danger, danger, Will Robinson. You sense something's wrong. I need to get around, away from these people. Some of you may be in relationships, in marriages where you feel you need to get out. You can't breathe. Every time you get together, your heart rate increases. You get mad. You turn into fight or flight mode. You just want, and you just feel your entire body tells you, I need to get out of this. I'm going to preach to you because I feel it in my spirit. Yeah, you're going through it. I understand. What do you do? Some of you, ooh, let me go on. Can I preach it? Some of you are sitting here in church right now, but you're guarding yourselves. You don't get open and connected with anybody because you don't trust nobody, because you think that somebody going to stab you and going to do you wrong and going to talk about you. And so now you don't know how to deal with people. So you're sitting in here and all you're doing is giving out fake smiles. They're just fake signals to say only so far, just only so far. I really can't do life with you. I can do Sunday morning with you. I might be able to do community group with you if you don't get on my nerves, but I'm not gonna do life with you. How did Jesus address this situation? He said, I have an assignment, and it may be the craziest assignment, and I'm associated with these people that, one, these people are coming to me and don't mean me any good anyway. They want to take me out, and then they're telling me about this other person that wants to take me out. He didn't refer even to them. He referred to his assignment. He referred to his assignment. This is what the Lord told me to tell you. He said this. He said, learn how to manage your association with others. Learn how to manage your association with. Jesus said, tell that. I know who he is. I know what he's about. I know what they want to do, but let them know I'm here on assignment and I ain't leaving. I got a shout on that. Henry ain't it. Andre ain't up here. Ain't no drummers, but Because God brought me to Life Community Church for an assignment, and you or your mama or your daddy or your craziness ain't gonna make me leave because I'm here on assignment. So it's about assignment. It's about doing what God called me to do. It's about being where God called me to be. So I'm here. I'm here, but I'm not here scared. I'm here in the moment. I'm here loving. I'm not here and turning off, checking out. I'm right here, and I'm here on assignment, understanding my association. See, because Jesus didn't only have crazy people around him. He had people that he needed, people that needed him. He was connected and associated. But, you know, don't feel funny, because the happiest people have the craziest associations. Let's close this out. The happiest people have the craziest aspect on life. Go one back up to Psalm 144. Psalm 144 and 15, guys, thank you. Look at this verse, Psalm 144 and 15. This is an interesting verse if you read the whole chapter. It goes into all these things about Israel and what they've done and who they are. If you know these list of psalms right here, this is like one verse I saw on happy. I was like, I don't even know if I can use that one, because the Bible actually says, happy are they that dash the baby's heads against the stones. I was like, Jesus, I really can't use that at church. But if you understand what it's really talking about, it's talking about warfare. And it's saying, happy are you when you got demonic activity in your life and you recognize it and you're able to stop it before it gets started in your life. Kill it when you see it. You're happy when you're able to stop it and cut it off and don't let it take precedence in your life. This particular verse, I love it. It says, happy are the people who are in such a state. Do you realize there is a happy state? There is a happy place. There is a state of mind that you got to learn how to get yourself in, how to recognize. And so if that means there's a happy state, that means that there is a depressed state. There is a depressed state of mind. There is a down, a low state of mind that you got to recognize and know how to deal with and know how to say, I got to get myself out of that. Don't allow yourself to drift into it, because all of us, if we want to be honest here, we can have testimony service and all of us can say, there have been times in my life when I allowed my mind to drift into a state that I had no business staying in. This is what Paul said about states, though. He said, I have learned whatsoever, help me out, state I'm in, to learn how to be content in that state. So there is a way that you can learn, regardless of what you're in. You learn how to pull yourself to a place of being in the moment, happening in the moment. I'm here, and I know that God is with me. It says this, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. I want to show you an interesting picture. This is a picture of a young child. And this is a young child that was just having a good time. He didn't know what was going on around him. He was just having fun. Kind of like your children just about 35 minutes ago. They recognized a happy moment, and they did not take it for granted. They got all in. But if you read the top of the picture, you'll realize the context of this child. This was a child that was a victim of the Holocaust. This means this was a child who was within a concentration camp, surrounded by death and dying. He didn't know. He didn't recognize. All he saw was my mama and daddy and aunties and uncles are all here. They smiling at me, so I'm smiling back at them. Look, I got a little room. I might as well run around and have me some fun. Why is everybody in line? Why are those people up there? What's this? I don't know what all this is. All I know is right now in this moment, I'm happy. when you live your life in such a way, then you realize, I don't know where I'm going, but I know that God is leading me. I know that God is with me. Let me say it like this. I know that God has written the script of my life. Let me tell you about scripts. If you've ever written a book, I'm writing a book right now. I'm writing a science fiction book, and I got all into it, and I've tried to learn how to write, and I felt the Holy Spirit gave me this idea. And when I started first writing it, I was like, it wasn't really working because I had everything in it pleasant. I had it all written where everything was just together. The most boring stories are stories that have no conflict. Ask any writer. Ask any movie director. Ask any person that puts pen to paper. They'll tell you, in order to make it interesting, you have to write in conflict. What if God? You're saying God did that to me? No, he didn't do it to you. But what if he wrote in the conflict? What if he wrote in conflict? Why would you write in conflict like that? Why would you do that? Because he said, you just don't know the end of the chapter. When it's all said and done, I'm going to pull you up out of that conflict. I'm going to show you how mighty you are. You are a mighty woman of God. You're a mighty man. You're great. And you're able to withstand conflict that other people would have went crazy with. But look at you. Look how far you've come. Look, you should be killing people. You should be doing people the way they did you. I wrote that conflict in, and look how you came out of it. Oh. I see God with tears in his eyes watching you. He's sitting on the edge of his throne saying, look at my girl. Look at my boy. He came through that conflict. And he just doesn't see the award that awaits him, the award that awaits her, that one day you'll stand before God and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You made it through the conflict. I wrote the conflict in because I didn't want you to have a boring story. You are too great. I will not waste my life on you that I gave you with a boring story. Sure, you had conflict, but everything you went in, I bought you out. Everything that you went into, I bought you out. Is there anybody here that has a lot of conflict in their life? They got some craziness written in their life, and they're saying, how in the world is this happening? Why is this happening? What's going on here, God? And you're saying, God, are you not the author of my life? I want you to stand on your feet and begin to applaud the author, because he's the one that wrote it in, but he's going to write you out. Hey, God, I see God in the spirit writing your end of your chapter, writing you out of that conflict just as sure as you went into it. Did you ever wonder why the Bible always says, and it came to pass? It came, but it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It didn't come to ruin you. It didn't come to mess you up. It came to leave. It came to leave. The next conflict that you go through, just look at it and say, when you gonna leave? When you gonna leave? When you gonna leave? When you gonna leave? Because you coming to pass. You're not coming to stay. You're not coming to ruin me. I shall overcome this. I shall be greater than this. God is with me, and he is the author and the finisher of my faith. Anybody in conflict? All my fellow people, are you in conflict? Isn't it funny how you have the craziest assignment? Oh God, isn't it funny how you have the craziest associations? But isn't it funny how you just keep on coming through because you have the craziest aspect on life. You have the craziest aspect. You have the craziest view. You just believe God is going to work it out. You just believe that God is going to do it. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. About 40 minutes ago, we were all shouting. We were either shouting or we was watching somebody shout. and trying to figure out how did they do that and why are they doing that and when we go in. And some of us was thinking, oh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah my provider, Jehovah Nisi. What did they say? Yeah, that sounds good too. And we were just worshiping God, not realizing that we were acting out a script. Solomon the Wise, he said, all that is happening has been written. Don't you realize, child, you're on a stage called reality and you're acting out a script. That's why God keeps giving this book to you, the script to you. It says, follow the script, follow the script, follow the script. Because in the script, I wrote your way out of all that the enemy meant for your evil and for your downfall. I wrote a way out. There is a way out in the script. If you just follow the script, stick to the script, stick to the script. I hear that in my spirit. The Lord is saying, stick to the script. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here this morning that you're just saying, Pastor, I just need strength. I need help. I received that word, and this week I want to stick to the script all week. Can you pray for me that I'll learn how to not drift and allow my mind to drift and get away from the script, but I can stick to the script all week long and see myself come to a happier state? If that's you and you're saying, I need help, I need prayer, I need the prayer of the saints. If that's you, lift your hand right now, right where you are. Lift your hand, and saints, begin to lay your hand on that person right around where they are, lifting their hands, and pray for them. Some of you are next to each other. Pray for one another. Pray for one another and begin to worship God and call out to God and say, God, help us with this script, this elaborate, enormous, incredible script that you've given us. God, allow us to stick with it, Lord. It may be in a crazy assignment. It may be crazy associations around us, God. But God, help us with an aspect that comes from on high, that we're not looking at it from the bottom up, God, but we're looking at it from the top down and realizing that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and that in the end, it's all going to be well with our souls. All well with our souls. All well with our souls. I see fathers just lifting your hands, slipping your hands up and saying, pray for me so I can stick to the script this week. I see mothers saying, pray for me so I can stick with the script this week. I see sons and daughters saying, pray for me. I need to stick to the script this week. Oh, God. There are some people here that are saying, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I am not following the script, and I need to get with the script. I need to get with what God is saying, because right now I recognize that there is no happiness at the end of this road that I'm on. I'm away from God, and I need to get closer to God. If that's you, lift your head up. Wave your hand so I can see you, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I love you. I believe in you. I want to pray for you, because God is going to do that. If you saying also, that's you, and you're saying, I need to come to God, and I want to give my life to God, and say, God, help me follow your script. Look at me again. Just, I want to see you face to face. Make sure I see you. Wave at me. I know I'm talking to the right person. Say, I want to come to Christ. I want to give my life completely to God, and I'm not following him now, and I need to follow him. If that's you, wave so I can see you. Get my attention. Get my attention. I see you, sister. Get my attention. Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? That's our one sister right here. That's our brother right there. I see you. I see you, brother. Who else? Who else saying, I want to get it right? I got to get it right. I got to get it right, because this is crazy. Fred, you don't understand. This is crazy. It seems like my life is just going into a brick wall, and it's not together. And God is saying, I wrote it in there, because if you stick to the script, I will write you out. You end up in heaven. You end up before me with me saying, well done. That's the way the script goes. Is there anybody saying, I'm having trouble with following the script, and please pray for me? I need strength. If that's you, get my attention. Let me see you. Get my attention. I see you. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Those are all of you that got my attention. Come down here now, and for the next 3 minutes as we get ready to close, stop getting my attention and come down here to this altar and get God's attention. Come down here and just say, God, let's talk. I need to get your attention. I need you every hour. I need you every moment. Jesus, I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee. I need thee. God, help me. I confess my sins, Lord. I've been off script. I've been away from you, Jesus. Please forgive me. I come to you right now. I come to you right now and I confess, Lord, I did it, but if you give me another chance, I hear somebody saying, if you give me another chance, I'll do it right, God. I'll follow you right. Somebody wants to give up on their association. I heard it in my spirit. Somebody is saying, I'm walking away from this marriage. I'm walking away from this marriage. I've made my mind up. I am walking away. Somebody is saying, I'm walking away from this church. I'm tired. I'm tired of these folks. I'm tired of people. I don't know who I can trust. I don't know who believes in me. Who do I believe in anymore? I've been tired of being let down so many times. And I hear God saying, I got it in the script. The happiest people have the craziest script. But I know that if you hold on to me, I'll bring you through if you follow my script. If that's you, I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. And if that's you, I'll encourage you right now, cry out to God. I'm not going to ask you to walk down the aisle. I'm not going to ask you to open yourself up. If you need to do that, you will do that. But you can, right where you are, cry out to God and say, help me, Jesus. Don't you sit there like a bump on the log, like you got it all together. Talk to him. You know him. Say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me.
Please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.